The first scripture lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, New Testament, page 182, and the Deep Blue Kids Bible on page 1303. I ask that he will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. If you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. The reading comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. Again, reading from the Common English Bible, the New Testament, page 44, the Deep Blue Kids Bible on 1124. Jesus and his disciples were on the road, going up to Jerusalem with Jesus in the lead. The disciples were amazed while the others following behind were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he told them what was about to happen to him. "Look," he said, "we're going to Jerusalem. The human one will be handed over to the chief priests and the legal experts. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. They will ridicule him, spit on him, torture him, and kill him. After 3 days, he will rise." James and John Zebedee's son came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They said, "Allow one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left when you enter your glory." Jesus replied, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or receive the baptism I receive? "We can," they answered. Jesus says, "You will drink the cup I drink and receive the baptisms I receive. But to sit on my right or left hand isn't mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it has been prepared." Now, when the other 10 disciples heard about this, they became angry with James and John. Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the one who considered the rulers by the Gentiles shows off their authority over them, their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and give his life to liberated people." The word of God for the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, as we come near to the holiest of holidays in the church year, we ask you to be present with us right now in this time. Speak your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we conclude the Lenten series that we've been involved in these past 5 weeks. We've been speaking about the values that we named together as part of our Vital Church Initiative program for God's people here at First United Methodist Church of Holland. The five values that we claim, we've been talking about one each week: love, grace, compassion. The young people spoke about justice last week, faithfulness this week. The Lenten Journey part of our series has used the stories of Jesus' ministry to teach us about these five values and how we might want to live by them. Faithfulness is exactly what Jesus practiced as he came toward the end of his ministry. Today's gospel points to Jesus' preparation for the confrontations ahead. The conversation that he has with the disciples is preceded by the last of his warnings to them. So he said to them, "We're going to Jerusalem. Things are going to happen there. It's going to be tough." And then they ask him about being with him in glory. Jesus had already disturbed the peace with his teachings. He had riled up the civil and the religious authorities. He knew that it was rough going ahead. He knew there were challenges and betrayal, arrest, trial, and even death. But faithfulness kept Jesus moving forward. Faithfulness is what we're focusing on today. For our common understanding, I would define it, as I told you earlier, as keeping promises. And from our perspective as Christians, I would sense that the most important promise we make is to love God with our whole heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And then Jesus adds in teaching a second commandment, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I would say to you, to love our neighbors and love ourselves, because sometimes I think we don't do loving ourselves very well. And if we don't do that well, in a healthy way, it's hard for us to love others. So to be faithful, to be full of faith, is not simply to believe in God. To have faith in God. It is to love God actively and then to love God by loving neighbor and ourselves. Faithfulness then is an action word about being, living out being faithful. It's more than just an attitude or belief. It is action. It's keeping the promises we make to God by holding steady, by hanging in there, by being true to God, who God created us to be, in good times and in bad. Now, I would venture that there's probably more understanding of the living out of faithfulness in this particular expression of our faith community, given our average age. Do you understand what I'm saying? More life experience teaches us more experiences about faithfulness. Now, I need to say to you that sometimes we make promises that we are not able to keep. Sometimes we do not keep those promises to love God, a neighbor, or love ourselves. God knows we are flawed human creatures who stumble and sin and fail. And ours is a God of mercy, a God whose grace is sufficient even for our failures. And the understanding is that God is with us even when we miss the mark, even when we do not keep the promises we have made. And still, we are called to make more promises, to try again and again to live out our promise of loving God and neighbor and ourselves. Today, the gospel reading from Mark wrestles with the very nature of faithfulness. Jesus takes to the road toward Jerusalem. And as they go, some of his company ask him this question. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, say, "Can we have a favor, Jesus?" Kind of softening him up. You remember when kids did that with you? And Jesus replies, "Yes, what do you want?" And they say, "We want to sit with you on either side of you when you get to your glory." And Jesus says, "You have no idea what you are asking for." Now remember, he has just warned them that there is torture and ridicule and struggle ahead in Jerusalem. And still they ask this silly question. You don't know what you're asking for. He says, there is much pain and suffering ahead. You think you're up to the challenge? Again, totally missing the point. They say yes. We are able. And Jesus says, well, it's not for me to promise the outcome. Meanwhile, the other disciples are angry and they're jealous. It becomes like a family fight. One sibling, couple siblings bargaining to be the favorite in the family. And I want you to hear then how Jesus responds to them. He calls them all together then, and he says, you know that the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it is to be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many people. John Peterson in the Message Bible says it this way, that Jesus said to them, you've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around. When people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. But then Jesus again says to the disciples, it is not going to be that way with you. Whoever becomes great must be a servant. According to Jesus' teaching, the nature of faithfulness, the keeping of our promises, does not necessarily mean that life will be easy or comfortable or an I get what I want kind of life. Faithfulness is work. All of you know that. Faithfulness is a challenge. It takes us another way. It is God's way. Promise keeping, self-giving, serving. It is greatness that is willing to be humble. It is not power over someone, but being with, sharing power with. It is first being willing to be last. It's about keeping our promise to love God by serving others. It is not about ourselves first and our comfort. It's about God's people and the people God sends our way to serve, whom we would not choose necessarily. It is about being true to God's challenge to be great as we serve others, even when it's not simple or easy. I encountered a story this week about a 6-year-old heroine, and it made me think about faithfulness. In 1961, Ruby Bridges was part of the civil rights movement. She was black, and she helped to integrate her all-white elementary school in New Orleans. So deep was the hatred and the racial bias of the time that she had to be escorted to school by federal marshals. And even then, all of the members of the school decided to boycott. So most of that year, Ruby went to this, well, go back one for me. Ruby went to that school alone. And one teacher who was willing stayed behind to teach her because the entire school of white children and the teachers chose to boycott her presence among them. Now the next slide. Each day, she walked to school surrounded by protesters who shouted racial slurs and even threatened her life. The good people of her town turned into a mob. One more slide. Then some years later, 1964, her original integration of the school happened in 1961. Norman Rockwell painted this painting, which he entitled, "The Problem We Must Live With," depicting Ruby surrounded by those marshals. Robert Coles, a famous sociologist at the time, was studying children and the effect of desegregation on them. He was puzzled by Ruby's resilience, her show of strength and her determination to go to school, and what seemed to be a sort of cheerfulness. He took special interest in her, and he interviewed her each week of that year. Peter Marty in the Christian Century reports this interview. Coles says to her, "Your teacher tells me that she sees your lips moving when you arrive at school. Who are you talking to, Ruby?" She says, "I'm talking to God and praying for the people in the street." Coles says, "Why? Why would you do that? Those people have been mean to you." Ruby says, "They need me to pray for them. Don't you think they need my prayers?" And Coles, who, by the way, was an atheist, says, "Yes, they probably do need your prayers." Then he says to her, "Ruby, where did you learn that?" Ruby says, "From my mommy and daddy and from the church. I pray every morning when I come to school." It says, "Working okay. There we go. Every morning when I come to school and every afternoon when I come home." "But Ruby," he says, "those people are so mean to you. You must have other feelings besides." And she says, no, not really. "I just keep on praying for them and hope God will be good to them. I always pray, dear God, please forgive them because they don't know what they are doing." Remember Jesus' words from the cross as well? Cole points out that Ruby's parents did not know how to read and write. So it meant that her experience at church and her experience at home was that scripture was recounted enough so it could be memorized. So she knew it deeply within herself. Staying true to herself and her love of God, Ruby was able to do a very hard thing. She was able to be faithful because God was faithful to her in a most difficult time. Now, few of us are going to serve God in such a dramatic way, but all of us will face challenge and hard times even as we seek to be faithful. This week and in the weeks ahead, I invite you to some different ways of practicing faithfulness. Is there one person in your circle of knowing, or maybe even someone who is a stranger, for whom you might do an act of service that might be something beyond what you would normally do? This week, that's my challenge to you. Secondly, I want you to know that on Palm Sunday at 2:30 in the afternoon, our neighbors, St. Francis Church, who minister to a great number of persons who are both immigrants and refugees, are hosting a prayer walk around Centennial Park, a kind of Stations of the Cross, only it's Stations of Prayer. And they're inviting us to come, the neighboring churches and their congregations, as a way of showing solidarity and support for the immigrants and the refugees in our community. And so, consider that. Next week, 2:30 at Centennial Park. This summer, we'll host the community kitchen here. People who need a meal will come to our fellowship hall for a meal, and we'll need extra volunteers to welcome them, to serve them, to do the work that's involved in being hosts. And finally, because our refugee family was not released, we're hoping still that we might be assigned another refugee family. And when that time comes and when they arrive, we ask that you would be part of the team that helps to make them feel welcome in our midst. Beloved, God has been faithful to us. And then Jesus teaches us that we might be faithful in all things, in all our life, by loving God with our whole selves, by loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves, and serving as Jesus served. Let us pray. Holy God, pour out your Spirit, for we seek to be your faithful people. Guide us and direct us, that we may be those who serve in your name, out of love for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.